Now we're continuing with the Lord's description of the church as a mother, and the Lord declaring what He's going to do through His church. He says now in verse 10, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, the church, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, you shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies." Now, to you who believe on Christ Jesus, to you who are the true spiritual Israel of God, to you who are God's Jerusalem, His new creation, His heavenly Jerusalem, His church, He speaks to you, and this is what He says in verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Now this is an illustration that we're all very familiar with. The Lord God promises He will comfort us with the same tender care as a mother comforts her little child. That's not difficult to understand, is it? "So will I comfort you." Now, for our divisions, I want to first look and see who is our comforter. Who is our comforter? And then secondly, with what care does He comfort His children? And then thirdly, where does He comfort us? Where does He comfort us? Now, first of all, who is our comforter? God says, "So will I comfort you." Our comforter is our triune God. That's the comforter of His people. God our Father is our comforter. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, He's called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. In Romans 15:5, He's called the God of consolation. God our Father is our comforter. And then God the Son is our comforter. He is the consolation of Israel. Remember when Simeon was in the temple and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel? He was waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ began to fulfill this prophecy right here. When He stood with the desolate wife who appeared to be desolate, when He stood there with His first apostles and His disciples that He had called out from among the Jews into His fold in Israel, the true Israel, He told them, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." He promised He would not leave them comfortless. He was going to do something. And it's what we see right here in this passage. Christ is our comforter. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He promised this. Christ said, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." So, brethren, it doesn't matter what our trouble is, it doesn't matter what kind of conflict we come into, we're going to have comfort. And the reason that's certain is because our Comforter is the triune God. He says, so will I comfort you. Now, secondly, with what care does God promise to comfort His people? With what care is He going to comfort His children? Well, look back in verse 13. He says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. That's how He's going to comfort. That's the care with which God's going to comfort. He says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. I remember the first time Melinda held our children, little infants. And the first time she held them, I remember that just so clearly. And I remember the first time their father held them. I held them for a little while, and when they began to fret, I handed them back to her because she could comfort them. She knew how to comfort them. I didn't have that ability. I couldn't comfort them, but she could. When the Father is speaking of pity, when God our Father speaks of pity, He says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. But when He speaks of comfort, He says, as a mother comforts her little child, that's how I'll comfort you. Now, a mother comforts with joy. She comforts with joy, she comforts with gladness, and she comforts with love. Now notice, God gives this comfort. He's speaking here about the comfort He's going to give to His little children. And He gives this comfort through the church, through the mother. He says in verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem. Verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. What's the rejoicing of Jerusalem? What is the rejoicing and gladness of the church with which she comforts God's newborn children? What's the joy? What's the gladness with which she comforts the children? Well, first of all, it's the truth of God's sovereign, effectual grace. That's what our comfort is. You remember back there in verse 9, He said, shall I bring her children? Shall I bring to the birth? Remember that? What we saw there? God saying, I'm going to bring you to travail. He's telling the church, I'm the one that's going to make you travail for my children. It's all of His grace. He's going to use His church, but it's all of His grace. And He will effectually make us travail. He does that by His sovereign, effectual grace. And then He said this. He said, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I cause you to travail and then not cause my child to be born? That's the good news. We can't fail because God's promised when He makes you to labor in the cause of Christ, laboring with His gospel, laboring for His lost sheep, He's going to make His children be born again. And this is the rejoicing we have. And this is the comfort wherewith we comfort God's children. Then the church rejoices that Christ shall not lose one. By this sovereign effectual grace, He will not lose one. He said there in verse 9, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Shall I cause you to have one child and then shut up your womb so you can't have any more? Now remember, He's speaking to the church in her very earliest stages, when He's talking to the apostles and He's talking to His disciples, with that little band there was there. And He's telling them, I'm going to cause you to have children. And I'm not going to just cause you to bring to the birth and have one child and then shut the womb. You're going to have a multitude of children. He's telling us, I'm going to call my children out and make them to be born again until every last one has been brought to the birth. Now that's the rejoicing we have in our Lord. Now you remember in the early church, they were persecuted. And they were cast down, and the majority in Israel rejected the Lord Jesus. Just a remnant He saved. And so they mourned for the church. They mourned that they were so few in number and that they had no power. But our Lord tells them not to mourn. And he says, rejoice with her. Because this is a sure and certain salvation that we have in our sure and certain God. Our sure and certain Savior is going to save His people and nobody's going to hinder Him. Now that same goes for you and me today. We can look at the church today and we find many causes to mourn in our day. But He's going to save His people. He's not going to stop till He's finished calling out all His children. Well, another way that the mother comforts her little newborn child is with the milk of her breast. This is one way that I didn't have an ability to comfort our children. But she did. From His holy hill of Zion, from Christ's holy hill of Zion, where He sits at God's right hand right now, through His church, God is comforting all His little ones through the milk of the gospel, through His word. Verse 11, He says, rejoice with her, don't depart from her, rejoice with her that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. Our consolation is Christ the Word. And all the consolations we have in Him, all the blessings we have in Him. He was made flesh and He dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Word purged our sins by His own blood. This is our rejoicing. This is the Word we hear every time we come because this is our milk. This is our milk. He robes us in His righteousness so that we're complete before God. We're complete before God, accepted with the very righteousness of God, made the righteousness of God. This is our milk. This is our meat. He preserves us by His grace. He says there, and this is what makes you to be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. And then in verse 11, He says, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. That you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Our milk is the gospel. It's the word of the gospel. And the abundance of our glory, that means our brightness. Our brightness. Our brightness is Christ the light. Christ the light. And He says in verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream, and then you shall suck. Christ is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And He says here, I'm going to extend peace to my church like a river. Now you remember, if you'll turn back with me to Isaiah 48, the Lord came to His own in Israel, but they received Him not. Remember, He didn't fail. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Not all those natural sons of Abraham were the sons of God. They were not all His spiritual Israel. But only the chosen elect's children of promise were His chosen seed. But when He came to them, listen to what He said to them in verse 16. Isaiah 48:16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. This is well known, He said. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is Christ speaking. He says, I'm the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. He's that way. He told them He is the way. But did they receive Him? Did they believe Him? They rejected Him. Now listen to this. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Oh, that thou hadst believed on me. And rested from all your self-righteous works. That's what He's telling them. Look, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed, thy children also, had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. But now, verse 22, he says, "But there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Now look at verse 49. First word, he says, "Now listen, O isles. Now you listen, Gentiles. I've turned from those lost, vile rejectors in Israel. Their house is left desolate. Now I'm turning to you, Gentiles." And that's what he's telling us in our text. Now back in Isaiah 66 and verse 12, "I will extend peace to my church like a river." He's that peace. He's made peace between His people and God our Father. And He said, "My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you. My peace I give unto you. It will never be taken from His people." And He says, "And the glory of the Gentiles are going to come in like a flowing stream." And He told that early church, He said, "And then now you're going to suck. These children are going to suck because I'm going to do this with the Gentiles. I'm going to call my elect from among the Gentiles, and I'm going to do this work through the Gentiles." You remember when He stood there on one occasion and He was talking to those disciples He'd called out from among the Jews, His elect He'd called out, giving them faith to trust Him. And He was standing there talking to them and He said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And I lay down my life for the sheep." And He said, "As the Father knows me." I suspect the Father knows Him well, don't you? He says, "As the Father knows me, so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." He's saying, just like the Father knows me and just like I know the Father, that's how I know my sheep. "And I lay down my life for the sheep." And He said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." He was standing there in Israel talking to those He had called out of Israel, who were His true Israel, who were Jews according to the flesh. And He said, "I've got other sheep that didn't come out of Israel. They're not the natural sons of Abraham." And He said, "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Later here, He says, when you see this happen, He said, your bones are going to rejoice. We're not going to have time to see this time, but next time I think I'm going to look at this. Remember when that valley of dry bones? He told them, "When I put my spirit in you," He said, "your bones are going to come forth." And then He told them He's going to take those two sticks, the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, and He was going to bring them together, and they weren't going to be two tribes anymore. They're going to be one. That's what He's doing between His elect from among the Jews and His elect from among the Gentiles. When you see this, your bones are going to flourish like a newborn child. And you're going to stand up, and my spirit's going to be in you. And you're going to be one fold with one shepherd. That's what He's declaring right here. So God tells us that the comfort and the milk with which He will nourish us and comfort us through His church is the Word. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1:25. He's encouraging, commanding, and effectually working in His people as He speaks this, so that all those believers He called in the very beginning, this is why they didn't depart. This is why they didn't separate. This is why they continued together with one mind and one accord under the preaching of the gospel. Because Christ spoke this effectually in their heart. And He fitly framed them together. And that's why He keeps us together. Because He speaks this word in our heart. And look what He tells you now. He's using the metaphor of a mother and a little baby child. And look what He says here at the end in verse 25. He says, "The word of the Lord endures forever." What He's promising us here is sure and certain and will endure. It shall happen. It is. We've seen it. And it is happening, and it shall continue. "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore? Because this word is so enduring, and it's so needful for our health. Wherefore? Lay aside all malice, and all guile, and all hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking. And as newborn babies, desire." Desire. You ever seen that newborn baby? They like a little bird with their mouth open. They desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire this gospel, he's saying, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted the Lord is gracious. Now, have you tasted the Lord's grace? You know, Linda would just take a little milk, get it on her finger, on her palm, and she'd let the baby lick that milk, and that's all it took. And they just latch on. Have you tasted this milk of grace? It makes you desire it. It makes you desire Him. If you've tasted His grace, it doesn't matter what you have to lay aside. It doesn't matter what you have to do without. Do without it. Lay it aside and desire this sincere milk that you may grow thereby. That's the Word of God to you and to me. And I tell you this, if you've tasted it and He's working His grace in you, that's what you'll do. Because He doesn't speak in vain. He brings it to pass. He makes you hunger and thirst after His righteousness. Now, He says to us, whatever's written is written for our learning, so that we might have comfort of the Scriptures and have hope. And this is His comfort to us through His Word. Now, how else does God comfort His children like a mother? Well, back in our text, Isaiah 66. A mother comforts very tenderly and very carefully. Well, that's how God comforts His children through His church. Verse 12. He says, you shall be born upon her sides and dandled upon her knees. You get the picture? That little infant you carry around. You see the woman got her hip cocked out. She's carrying that little baby on her hip. And she's dandling him on her knees. He said, that's the tender care I'm going to take with my people. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Now, he's going to do this through gospel preachers that he sends to minister the word of the gospel to his people. He's going to do it through all his witnesses that he's assembled together to bear witness unto him. Each of us here are witnesses of Christ. Now, do you remember how Paul said they ministered to the Thessalonians? Listen to this. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. A man don't have that kind of affection for sinners unless God gives him that heart. And Christ gives us that heart. He says, you shall be dandled on her knees. You're going to be comforted. I'm going to comfort you through my people, my church, just like a little child is comforted by her mother. God makes His preacher and His church have a sincere affection for those He's drawing to Christ. And because we have a sincere affection for them, you're gentle. You don't get in Christ's way. You don't try to make something happen. Get ahead of Christ. You wait on the Lord. You minister this word like you would to a newborn baby. Milk to a newborn baby. And you wait on the Lord to grow His child. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Remember how He said He's going to build His house, His church? He said, not by might. Not by power, not by your might, and not by my might. Not by your power, and not by my power. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God's not provided preachers, His preachers. Now, there's a bunch of preachers out there. I'm not talking about the whole bunch. I'm talking about God's preachers. He's provided His preachers not to whip and yoke His children with the law of Mount Sinai. That's not what He sends His preachers to do. And that's not what they do. Either God works effectually and sends pastors after His own heart, or He just lied to us. He sends pastors after His own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not with lies. Not with half-truths. Not mixing a little rat poison with the bread. That's just pure poison. He does it with truth And this is the charge. Go back to Isaiah 40. This is the charge He gives His people and His preachers. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. That's what we tell. That's what we preach. The warfare of all God's elect is accomplished by Christ. It's finished. Her iniquity is pardoned. It's gone. It's pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is by God the Father's hand, by Him choosing whom He will. This is by God the Son's hand. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And with His stripes, ye are healed. You are healed. That means you've been made the righteousness of God in Him. I was going to hold this to the next message, but I'm about to pop. I can't hold it. How can I be called an antinomian? How can I be called an antinomian? Through faith in Christ, I have established the entire law of God. The man who's going back to Mount Sinai and trying to fulfill it himself, he's the lawless one. He's not obeying the Master. Rest in me. And you fulfilled all the righteousness of God. That's the only way we establish it. With His stripes, you're healed. That's what that means. You're righteous. By the Holy Spirit applying all His blessings to us personally. You've received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. For shame you shall have double. For confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Who's our portion? Who's our inheritance? Christ the Lord. He's our rejoicing. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. We've got joy. We've got righteousness and holiness. But here's the double. Here's the double. The double joy. It's everlasting. We have eternal redemption. Eternal life. Eternal righteousness. We're saved by Him. That's what He's saying. Now that's the message we comfort with. That's the message. That's the message He's going to work this work of grace through. Well, when a mother's comforting her children, sometimes, no matter what she does, she just can't comfort the child. That's one way that God our Father differs from a mother. He says here, verse 13, Isaiah 66:13, "So shall I comfort thee, and ye shall be comforted." You shall be comforted. This work is not of us. God uses His church. He uses His preachers. He uses His witnesses. But the work's not of us. It's of Him. And therefore, it's sure. You shall be comforted. He shall not fail. You shall be comforted. The gates of hell won't stop our captain. Our sin and our unbelief won't stop Him. The world and all our enemies won't stop Him. He shall comfort His people. And that comfort is Christ. He's going to make you see you're complete in Him. All right, now let me give you one last word. Where does the Lord comfort His people? Now I want you to be sure to understand this is God speaking. This is our triune God in the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's fixing to tell us where we're going to find this comfort. All right, verse 13. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You who've sat around here very long know that's not talking about that little mound of dirt over there in the Middle East. We're talking about heavenly Jerusalem. In the church of God, in heavenly Jerusalem, the house of God where Christ preaches through His preacher. Did you hear what I said? Where Christ preaches through His preacher. If you don't come here, you're not missing me. You're missing Christ. Christ preaches through His preacher. Brethren, when we most need comfort, you know what we tend to do? This is just the way sin works. It's the way it works in me, and it's the way it works in you. When we need comfort the most, we neglect coming to
God's house where He's assembled His people and He's preaching His gospel through His church. That's when we need it the most, and we fail to come and assemble with His people. Imagine you need comfort right now. Somebody here probably does. Imagine right now you need comfort. Let's just put a scenario before you. You think you're going to find the comfort of God in hell or in heaven? Well, if I don't assemble with Christ at the feet of His throne in heaven, where from His holy mountain the law's going forth into His house where He's assembled His living stones, where He's preaching to His people and ministering this milk, the breasts of our consolations to us and comforting us and nourishing us. If I don't assemble with them, but instead I try to find comfort in the world, somewhere else, that's like trying to find comfort in hell rather than trying to find comfort in heaven. That sort of makes it seem a little absurd when you look at it like that, doesn't it? That's just how foolish we are when we don't assemble where Christ has promised He's going to meet with His people and minister this comfort to us. God says here in our text, He shall comfort His people, He shall do it through His gospel, and the place He's going to do it is in His church. In His house, His temple, amongst His living stones that's been built up by Him, that spiritual house in which Christ dwells. This is where we read His word together as brethren. One of the men stands up here and reads. He reads it, and we all read together. And you know who we're reading? We're reading Christ's word. This is where we sing together as a family. You know what we're singing? Praises to Christ. This is where we hear our brethren pray. And we sit there and pray with them. And we hear them pray for us. And we hear them pray for one another. And we hear them pray for God's people all over this world and His preachers all over this world. And we hear them ask God to glorify His holy name. This is where we come and we hear Christ's gospel proclaimed in spirit and in truth. Where we hear, sometimes you hear it so effectually in your heart, you just know Christ is ministering directly to me. He set me down right here and He's feeding me just like a mother's got her little baby on her lap and is feeding her just tenderly and nourishing her. That's what He says He'll do. This is where we come and we partake of His ordinances, rejoicing in those that are baptized, professing His name, rejoicing in the work He's done in them. This is where we come and partake of the unleavened bread and the wine and remember His broken body and His shed blood. This is where Christ has promised He's going to make His presence known in our hearts. I didn't make this up. Can you read it? Can you read it? It's black and white right there. God says, you're going to be comforted. My people are going to be comforted. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That's where He's going to do it. That's where He's going to do it. You know, I could get into a lot of ways that this is so wise. I try to do that with you from time to time. But it just suffices to say, God said that's how He's going to do it. That's enough. That's enough. This is how God said He's going to do it. Let's read it, verse 11. That you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. That you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Verse 13. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants and his indignation toward his enemies. You know where we find this? At Christ's feet. And at Christ's feet, sin loses all its weight. And death loses its sting. And sorrow is turned into joy. That's why He says, are you laboring? Are you heavy laden? Do you need rest? And He says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you're the God of all comfort. Thank you that you've made Christ the head of your church, and that you've assembled these living stones and made us your house, your Jerusalem, that you've promised you'll comfort us through the word of your gospel. Make us desire that sincere milk. Make us taste and desire. Make us hunger and thirst. Make us lay aside everything that would hinder us from being present every time you preach to us. And make us, Lord, rejoice. Make us delight and glory in you. Thank you, Lord, for this tremendous comfort to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.